So when Steve goes out of town, inevitably something that I do messes up the computer. So, Steve, you're not allowed to go out of town anytime I'm coming up to preach because something always messes up. But today is clearly a different Sunday than normal. It's nothing like our Easter Jam or Jingle Jam, no big messes. In fact, Joe's not even here, so him and I can't get in trouble together. But for those of you who don't know about Crossroads, which is a after-school program that we do at Cherry Valley Elementary School, this is going to give you just a little bit of a taste of what we do at Crossroads Kids Club. And it also is a time that we like to set aside to specifically pray for all of our Crossroads kids as well. So it's kind of a commissioning type service as well. So today we're going to start off on a little more of the wild side. As many of you might have noticed as you walked in, there is blue tape on the ground. And so normally we do a game with our Crossroads kids in the gymnasium of the school, which it already has lines on the ground. So I had to make up my own lines for the game we're going to play because it's one of my favorite games. The kids like to call it line tag. I like to call it Pac-Man. How many of you guys, both young and old, have ever played Pac-Man? There you go. So the concept is simple. I'm going to get a couple of kids to play the game with us. And basically what it is you have to stay on the lines and move around and try not to get tagged. Now, this is a more confined space than what the gymnasium is, so we're not going to be able to run or be as wild as we would. There's people with legs out in the aisles, so don't trip any kids as they come by. But for starters, I need 5 kids who are willing to be our get taggies. Taggies? The ones that are going to be tagged. Madison, you want to be one? Madison, you want to be one? Let's go with Bryant. May, you want to be one? Amir, I've got another job for you. Let's go with Lyell and Mia. Is that 5 of us? So you 5 are going to be our kids trying not to get tagged. So you guys see the blue lines? So the blue lines go up the center aisle. They go around the back. They do go out the door, around, and back in. We've got some lines that go up here in each one of our wings over here. So adults, don't trip the kids as they come by. But do you 5 want to spread out through the sanctuary? Stand on one of the lines so you can stand over here. You can stand there. So spread out on the lines. Lyle, you want to come over here and stand on one of the lines? All right? Because what's going to happen is I'm going to have Amir come up here. You want to be my tagger, dude? All right. And Amir is going to be my tagger. So you guys are going to be on the blue lines trying to get away from Amir. Amir is going to start right up here, center stage. And when I say go, you guys are going to have to try to get away from Amir. Do you think you guys can do it? Yeah. Amir, do you think you can tag him?
Sure.
All right, so you start on the blue line. It's all right. Are you 5 ready?
Yeah.
Madison, you're going to want to take off because you're the closest one to Amir. All right. Mira, are you ready? All right, let's go. See how long you can last. Make sure you stay on the line. Keep going. Go, May. Go, May. You're creating a roadblock. Go, 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 go. Go, go, go. Out the door and back in. Out the door and back in. Make a turn. Oh, no. Brian, he got you. All right. Good job, Brian. All right, here comes Amir. Stay on that line, Amir. They're zigging. They're zagging. May hit a dead end. All right. He's got a plan. He's got a plan. He's got a plan. He's got a plan. Which way are you going? Hi, Lyle. Now, normally, you know, again, we're playing on all of the lines in the gymnasium, from the basketball to the volleyball to whatever lines that they can find at the time. And normally we've got 4 or 5 taggers and the rest of the kids, which we had 33 kids at the finish of this year that were part of Crossroads. And so all of us, and sometimes the adults, Jeanette and I like to get up and play this game and try to put the kids in their place to make sure they knew that they weren't invincible when it came to these games. So, all right, so right now I'm going to call out that you can only stay on the center line. Only stay on the center line. So you can only be on the center line. All of you, you can only be on the center line. So everybody line up on the center line.
Yeah.
Mia. Because here comes a mirror. Alright. So basically you guys are all tagged out. That was the whole point. Put you to the center line so you couldn't move any farther. But good job. Good job, Mia. Thank you. Good job, eh? Alright. So again, just a little bit of taste, you know, we always do a running game to try to get some of the energy out that the kids have. But, you know, the game is fun and all, but our main focus of Crossroads is to teach the Word of God to the students. And this is only my second year a part of the Crossroads Kids Club, but Crossroads from Calvary has been going on since 2014. And Crossroads as an organization has been going on since 1998 is when Matt Armstrong and a couple others had this envision to take the name of Jesus into the public school system. Because many people don't realize that by law, as a church, as a parachurch organization, we can go into a public school system and we can talk about Jesus openly to the kids. And so Crossroads Kids Club as a whole organization has that goal in mind, to help and to assist churches to going into a place that Jesus is being trying to be pushed out of. And so through their support and through, gratefully, the support of the school that we work with, Cherry Valley, we are able to come in and to proclaim the name of Jesus. Now, this year, there has been one overarching question that we have been focusing on. We have been focusing on the question of who is Jesus? And now, every time that I asked that question, the kids responded in such a way. Wendy? Yes. So the kids, when I say, who is Jesus, they would say, Jesus is the Son of God. He came from heaven to earth. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried in the ground. 3 days later, he rose victoriously. He is in heaven now, preparing a place for you and me. But it was more than just saying it. We actually had some motions that went along with it. So Crossroads peoples, kids and adults, I'm going to ask you guys to stand, and we're going to try to teach the rest of the congregation the motions that we did when we said, who is Jesus? So when I say, who is Jesus, we do, Jesus is the Son of God. He came from heaven to earth. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried in the ground, and 3 days later, he rose victoriously. Right now, he's in heaven preparing a place for you and me. So, everybody else, are you guys ready to try that together? Because we're going to try it as a congregation. You don't have to stand up if you don't want to. Stand up if you want to stretch out just a little bit. But when I ask the question, who is Jesus? We respond by saying, Jesus is the Son of God. He came from heaven to earth. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried in the ground. 3 days later, he rose victoriously. He is in heaven now, preparing a place for you and me. Good job. So everybody have a seat. Thank you for participating. So that is the question that we have been talking about each week. And we've been looking at several different themes, such as the idea of I am empowered to obey God even when it is hard. I live not by my own might, but by the power of God. and that I can be made new in Christ. So we've had 24 lessons this year, and we've been looking at questions similar to that. And so we've also, every week, we've challenged the kids to go home with a memory verse and to memorize it and come back. And so a couple of the memory verses that we have had for the year was Philippians 3:20. It says, "But we are citizens of heaven. We can hardly wait for a Savior from there. He is the Lord Jesus Christ." We also did Mark 1:11. "A voice spoke to him from heaven. It said, 'You are my son, and I love you. I am pleased with you.'" And actually, just this last week, the memory verse that the kids were to come with was from Luke 12:40. It said, "So always be ready. You do not know when the Son of Man will come." So now some students take that memorization a little bit more seriously than others, but it's still a practice that we really want to try to instill into the lives of each of our kids. And it's a cool thing too, because sometimes the kids will go home and the parents, their parents, will work on that with them as well. So it helps to get parents engaged with their kids at the same time. And so here at Calvary, we, too, have been working with our own kids, and we have been going through what we've been calling God's big story. So basically, the Bible. Starting back in August, we have been looking at the stories starting in the Old Testament all the way to we're in the New Testament now. But we have been looking at stories and looking at where Jesus or God's love is in all the midst of those stories. And so we've been teaching the name of Jesus to the kids at Crossroads. We've been teaching the Bible to our kids here at Calvary. But once we have all of that knowledge, and even as adults, when we grow in the Word of God, when we have knowledge, a question can come to mind at the end of something, and it's, now what? Two simple words at the end of a study or the end of a lesson or the end of a learning, whatever it may be, that question of, now what? Now what do I do with the name of Jesus? What do I do now that I know scriptures? What do I do now that I know the Bible? Now what do I do when I've accepted Jesus as my Lord, the Lord of my life? Now what? You see, no matter where we are in our lives, at any given time, we can ask that simple question of, now what? And we can try to evaluate of what we should be doing next. And the awesome thing is that no matter if we're 60 or if we're 6 or if we're 160 years old, there's always more that we are able to do from the kingdom of God. Now, it looks differently depending on what age you're at. But the thing is, we may not know where to start to answer that question of, now what? But the awesome thing is that Jesus gave us some pretty specific instructions to his disciples that is very much applicable to our lives today. All right? So those instructions are found in the book of Matthew. Now, Matthew is the first book of the New Testament, and he's one of the four Gospels, or simply put, the books that tell the story of Jesus' lives. So we're picking up in that story in Matthew right after Jesus had died on the cross and he had risen back from the dead. And he spent 40 days here on earth showing up to more than 500 of his closest friends and followers. So at the end of that 40 days is where we are picking up. So as I tell the story, I've got some instructions for you to do. Now, this is going to be a little bit of a test of your Bible knowledge, but don't be alarmed because you don't need a Master of Divinity to answer these questions. These are geared primarily towards the kids, so adults, don't be afraid or ashamed to hold up your answers as well. So what's going to happen is I go through our story, I'm going to ask you, what do you think happened next? And then four answers are going to be shown up on the screen, and then you're going to hold up one of your letter cards that Lyle handed to you as you came into the service. So just about everybody should have an A, B, or C stack of cards with you. And so as we go through the story, I want you guys to hold those up when it comes time for the questions to pop up. So is everybody ready? Understand what we're doing? Yeah. All right, so here we go. So on the 40th day after Jesus' resurrection, he told his disciples to meet him somewhere. Where do you think he told his disciples to meet him? Do you think it was A, at the top of a mountain, B, at the local diner, C, down by the river, or D, in a deep, dark cave? Hold up your letters. Where do you think? Well, the correct answer is A. They actually met Jesus high on top of a mountain. So when the disciples met Jesus at the top of the mountain, he gave them a big job to do. What do you think that job was? Do you think it was A, to heal everyone who was sick? Do you think it was B, to buy fish and bread for everyone in Jerusalem? Do you think it was C, to tell others about him? Or do you think it was D, to hike down the mountains backwards? What do you think it was? There's lots of C's out there. Yes, the correct answer is C. So we can read in Matthew 28:18 that this is what Jesus said. It says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age.'" So, yes, C was the correct answers. Jesus gave his disciples that huge task of telling others about him and what he had done for the world. But Jesus knew that his disciples would need some help. He knew that that was such a big job that they wouldn't be able to do it alone. And so one day before this, while he was with his disciples, they were eating. And Jesus gave them some more instructions of the task that was to come. So what do you think these instructions Jesus gave were? Do you think the instructions were to leave Jerusalem right away? To wait for the Holy Spirit to arrive? To open a hotel? Or to do a gift exchange? What do you think it is? So again, real quickly, to find the answer to that question, we look at the book of Acts. It says in Acts chapter 1, verse 4-5, says, "On an occasion, while he was eating with them," that's Jesus, "he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for my gift from my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" So if you said B, you are correct. Jesus asked the disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit to arrive. So when Jesus spoke these words, the disciples were probably a little confused as to what was going on. You see, Jesus' friends knew what baptism by water meant, and that it was a sign of new life or a decision to change. But they had never heard the idea of what it might mean to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus went on to say in Acts 1, in verse 8, it says, "But you will receive power by the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea, all of Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." There it was again. Jesus wanted his followers to take his story from one end of the earth to the other. And somehow, the Holy Spirit that he was talking about was going to help them do it. So back to the mountaintop. Back to Jesus giving him the command in Matthew 28. At this point, Jesus had given the disciples instructions to stay in Jerusalem until they had received that special gift of the Holy Spirit. He'd also given them the command to go, baptize, and teach. And after this command in Matthew 28:18, something incredible happened. What do you think happened next? Do you think that A, Jesus healed a woman nearby? Do you think it was B, the disciples started a dance party? Do you think it was C, that Jesus was lifted up into the sky? Or do you think it was D, people started bringing their kids to Jesus for a blessing? What do you think it was? A, B, C, or D? If you chose C, Jesus was lifted up into the sky towards heaven, you would be correct. Up there on top of the mountaintop, when Jesus got done speaking, he was lifted up into the air. And the disciples were standing there, and they watched in amazement. I mean, imagine that, just all of a sudden, up into the air. And so it says that they stood there and watched until a cloud hid them from view. As the disciples stood there and watched Jesus ascend, I'm sure that they were asking that same two-word question that we talked about just a minute ago. Now what? Now what? They've all had this great experience of living a life following their rabbi, following Jesus, listening to what they had to tell him. They even witnessed him die, and then now he's back to life. So now what? They have the knowledge, and they're supposed to be receiving this gift from God that is supposed to come, but now what? So as they stood there looking up in the sky and wonder, something happened. What do you think happened next? Do you think it was A, two men appear? Do you think it was B, a snowstorm rolled in? Do you think it was C, hundreds of angels filled the sky? Or do you think it was D, the disciples ran away in fear? Well, if you chose A, you would be correct. When they were standing there looking up in the sky, suddenly two men appeared beside them. And this is what those men said. In Acts chapter 1, verse 11, it says, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking to the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back the same way you have seen him go into heaven." I imagine the disciples at this moment were filled with some great joy, but also still, again, pondering that question. Now what? Just a short time later, however, everything would start coming together. The Holy Spirit would descend upon them, and they would begin to head out and do just as Jesus had instructed them to do. They went out and began to fulfill that great commission. They went out baptizing. They went out teaching. They went out and did all the things that Jesus had told them to do. So that's what the disciples did to answer that question, now what? But what about us? We have been given the teachings of Jesus. We have the name of Jesus. We have knowledge on the scriptures. And we have also, as the disciples have, we too have the power of the Holy Spirit. But having those things isn't enough just to have. Like the disciples, we can't just stand up on top of the mountain looking up and waiting for Jesus to return. We must first move. We must do as Jesus told us to go, a verb, an action. We must respond. And once we go, we make and we teach. Again, today is Crossroads Sunday. And Crossroads is a direct fulfillment of our church here at Calvary working on carrying out that great commission. Like I said, back in 2014, my predecessor, Joel Harrison, along with other volunteers from Calvary, responded to that call of go into the world. That world was Thompson Elementary School, which was just right here around the corner. When Thompson closed down, we went into the world of Cherry Valley Elementary School, which is where we're still at today. And to let you know that the going is producing fruit. The awesome thing is that back in 2014, when the church went into Thompson and spoke the name of Jesus, 8 years later, we would have a family baptized here in the church from that first interaction. This past March, we had a family that's first connections with the church was Crossroads Kids Club. Make that decision to follow Christ, to give their lives to service of Christ. And so Calvary's mission with Crossroads of going and teaching and baptizing is being fulfilled. And the horrible thing about our world today is that The world doesn't want to hear the name of Jesus, let alone do anything that Jesus commands us to do. But that should drive us. If we have Christ in our life, that should drive us all the more to want to go out into the world to share that name of Jesus. So the people would come to the understanding of the truth that we know. Now, some of you might be sitting there thinking that, you know, it's one thing for an extrovert to be able to go out into the world, but not me. It'd be one thing for if I were younger to be able to go out into the world, but I am not able to do that anymore. But the awesome thing is again, no matter our age, no matter our maturity level, if you can express love, you can help fulfill the Great Commission. If you can sit across the table and have coffee or a donut or just carry on a conversation with somebody, you can express the love of God. It doesn't take a whole lot to be able to let the person in front of you on the highway merge over. It doesn't take a lot to wish your cashier, wish your waiter or waitress at the restaurant a good day. Maybe bless them a little bit more with, if you're able to, an extra little bit of a tip. You see, it's the small things that we can do that can have a butterfly effect in someone's life down the road. Our job is simply just to plant the seeds and entrust the Holy Spirit to continue to work through it. And at the same time, it's our job to trust the Holy Spirit to give us what we need when we find ourselves in those circumstances that the name of Jesus can be spoken. The Spirit does still work. The Spirit does still move. The Spirit still does act in our lives on behalf of the Father in heaven. So it's our goal, it's our mission to carry out those verbs that Jesus commanded us to do, to go, to teach, to baptize. And the first thing is sometimes the hardest, the going. So before we bring up our Crossroads kids, say a prayer over each one of our groups, I first want to say a prayer over the congregation today. A prayer that the Spirit would work into our lives to encourage us, to prompt us, and maybe sometimes force us a little bit to take that first step of go. Because as we get moving, as we get going, you'd be surprised how easy it is to share the love and the name of Jesus with those that you come across. So before we bring the kids up, let's say a prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for that gift of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit that was empowering the disciples back then is the same Spirit that empowers us today. So Lord, as we stand here and we look at that command that you gave us to go, to teach, to baptize, we pray that your Spirit really would take a hold of our hearts and help us to make that first step of going. Because, Lord, we know that your word doesn't turn void, but sometimes we need a little bit extra encouragement to make those steps. So, Lord, today, encourage us, strengthen us, and lead us as we go. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so at this time, we're going to invite the kids with their teachers up, group by group, and then we're going to pray over them. So we're going to start with our K through first graders. So Miss Phyllis, Miss Tammy, you guys want to come up? And I think Madison, I think you might be the only one up here. So if you guys want to come up here and stand, and we're going to say a prayer over you guys today. Good to see you, Madison. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the heart of Phyllis and the heart of Tammy and their devotion and dedication to come each week to speak your truth in the name of Jesus into the lives of each one of the kids that they had this year. Lord, we pray for all of them that as our Crossroads year comes to an end, that the name of Jesus being planted into their lives would begin to grow and become something that blossoms inside of them to lead them on with the rest of their lives moving forwards. Lord, again, we just thank you so much for each one of the child and each one of the teachers we had in this group this year. So we love you and we thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Madison, before you go real quick, got a little thing for you. It's not a lot, but what this says is that Madison has been taught the name of Jesus and who she is to him. So there you go, Madison. You have a seat. All right. Next, we're going to bring up Miss Nina and Miss Pam. Oh. I was going to say, I thought Miss Nina might have been in the kitchen. I was about to yell louder. And then we've got Bryant. Anybody else? Oh, and Aiden. Yep. Aiden's here. So why don't you two, well, you four come forwards. Bryant and Aiden. All right. And here we're going to pray for you guys real quick. Father, we thank you so much for Aiden and for Bryant. And Lord, we thank you for drawing them closer to you through this year at Crossroads. Lord, we pray for them now that as they begin to understand a life devoted to you, that you would continue to use the seeds that were planted by Nina and by Pam this year to grow and to lead their lives. Lord, we thank you for Pam and Nina and for their devotion, their hearts, to serve and to love these kids throughout the course of the year. Lord, we love you. We thank you for each one of these souls. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know what, Aiden? I put item. I will fix that, and I will bring that to you. I will bring that, bang that, I put an M instead of an N. All right. Steve, you were our group three. Steve had our fourth and a couple fifth graders this year. And I know Amir was in your group. So Amir.
Oh,
Amir. Amir. Amir, you want to come up here? We're going to pray for you and for Steve.
I need prayer. Go ahead, Amir.
All right. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. For the other students, we do thank you for Amir, for the fact that you love him, that we love him. Lord, we thank you for the seeds that we have the opportunity of planting in his life. Lord, we pray that those seeds would grow into something amazing. Lord, we pray that Amir would recognize the gifts, the talents, the abilities that you have given him, and that he would be able to use those to go far in his life. Lord, we thank you so much for Pastor Steve and his heart and devotion to these kids for this year. We thank you for the love that he pours out on each one of them as he has taught and spoken your name into their lives. So, Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity that we've had for this group. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Bob. And we've got Kamari coming up. There you go. All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for Kamari and her heart. Lord, we pray for her that as we've spoken the name of Jesus into her life this year, that she would begin to recognize and to realize the power of that's in your name, the importance that's in your name. So, Lord, we pray that as she moves on into the next school into sixth grade, that she would be able to hold fast to your truth, to the seeds that were planted into her lives, along with the rest of her group who move on into sixth grade. Lord, we thank you so much for Bob, his devotion, his heart to come and to boldly speak your name into the lives of each of the kids in his group this year. We appreciate his wisdom and, again, his heart. So, Lord, we just pray that you would be with them as they go forth. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. And then Miss Jeanette and Brandon. I almost handed you Robbie's as a joke. But I kept calling Brandon by the wrong name all year long. There was another boy in his group by the name of Robbie, and for whatever reason, I kept calling Brandon Robbie, and to the point where it just started costing me tickets. Tickets were a prize point. And you only got, what, one ticket pulled the whole year? So, but Robbie, you've been in Crossroads.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Brandon, give you a ticket on Tuesday. Brandon, you've been with Crossroads since kindergarten, all the way through, yeah. And Brandon is finally, I don't want to say finally because we are going to miss you, but Brandon is a fifth grader this year, and so we will for sure miss you next year, but at least I won't have to worry about calling you Robbie anymore. So, but Brandon, let's say a prayer for you. Father God, we thank you so much for Brandon, for his heart, for his wit, for just the fact that he can brighten up a room when he comes in. Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity that we have had over the course of his elementary life to continually get to speak and get to talk to him and get to watch him grow and mature. We pray that the seeds that we have planted into his life would be watered and nurtured as he moves on. We pray that he would continue to grow and to be the wonderful young man that you have for him to be. Lord, we thank you so much for Jeanette, for her heart, for her passion, for her love, for each of her students, for her devotion to, again, boldly speak the name of Jesus into the lives of her kids. So, Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity. We lift up each and one of the students that were here today and that weren't here today. We pray for all of them to continue to seek after you first and to find encouragement in your word and in your spirit. Lord, we love you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as the announcement video said, we are having a potluck this Sunday, right after service here. We've got fried chicken. We've got other people, wonderful cooks here at the church that have pitched in to help provide a wonderful, wonderful meal. Everybody is invited, but again, this is just a way to set aside and encourage our Crossroads kids and our Crossroads volunteers. And so after we finish up here with service, we invite everybody to step into the fellowship hall. But before we do that, Crossroads is a key part here at Calvary. It's one thing that really drew me in when I was talking with the church of the opportunity to serve here. It is such an integral part that many, many people have supported it either prayerfully, financially, or with their time. And so at this time, I'm going to have some different people stand up to give thanks and to let everybody else to recognize the impact that Crossroads has within our church as well. So first one is Miss Joan over here in the corner. Miss Joan comes in every single Tuesday, and she prepares our Crossroad boxes for each of our groups. Any lesson material, anything that needs to be done for our teachers, Joan comes in and gets things ready. She puts the tickets in each of the name tags, and trust me, that's a job that I'm very happy that she does, because it's monotonous, but it needs to be done. And Joan comes in with a smile on her face, so willing to be able to serve. So Joan, I know you don't like recognition, but thank you so much for serving. Secondly, I know we had the teachers up here, but we had a group of 7 teachers this year that truly, we couldn't do Crossroads without them. In fact, these last, 2 weeks or a couple of weeks ago, we had 2 consecutive weeks where we were missing at least 2 of our volunteers. And it's amazing how good of a flow we had, and then when you remove 2 of our pieces, how kind of chaotic behind the scenes it can become. And so can I have my 7 volunteer teachers stand up for me real quick? Jeanette over here too. Thank you, thank you, thank you guys for your devotion, your heart to serve. Because again, it's you who are having more of the impact in the lives of each of those kids. So thank you, thank you. Now, one thing that we do here at Christmas time is we put a picture and the name of each one of our students out here. And what it is we call to action our church to take a name and a face of one of our Crossroads students and to spend the remainder of the year praying for that kid. And so it's all done anonymously. And so parents know that you've had someone from this church praying specifically for your kid throughout this year. And so if you are a part of our prayer campaign with the sponsorship program, please stand up and show that you have been in support of that. And there's many, many more who I know who aren't here today. So again, my challenge for all of us today is to take that first step, to follow that first verb, to go, to speak the name of Jesus boldly and proudly into the lives of anybody that we happen to encounter. So I challenge you to go.